जया गोपी जन भला गिरिभर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर वन छारी जमुना तीर वन छारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद्भि डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद्भि डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथरा श्रीमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सुदे असेंबो देवोतिस ओ ग्लोरी सु शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Written from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonum, Chapter 19, Swallowing the Forest Fire, Texts 15 and 16. Gopinam Paramananda Asit Govinda Darshane Shannan Yuga Satan Iva Jasanjena Vina Bhavat Gopinam Paramananda Asit Govinda Darshane Shanan Yuga Shatam Ivam Jashanjena Vina Bhavat Gopinam Paramananda Asit Govinda Darshane Shanan Yuga Shatam Iva Jashanjena Vina Bhavat. Please chant. Gopinam. For the young cowherd girls, Parama Anandaha, the greatest happiness, Asit arose Govinda Darshane, in seeing Govinda Shanam, a moment, Yuga Shatam, 100 millenniums, Eva, just as Jasan, for whom, Yena, whom, Krishna, Vina, without, Abhavat, became. I'm going to read the translation on text number 15 and then the translation on text number 16. Text number 15. Ga sanin vartya sa yahne saharamo janardanaha venun virana jan goshtam agat gopair abhishtuta. Translation. It is now late in the afternoon, and Lord Krishna, accompanied by Balaram, turned the cows back towards home, playing his flute in an especial way. Krishna returned to the cowherd village in the company of his cowherd friends who chanted his glories. Text 16. The young gopis took the greatest pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them, even a moment without his association seemed like a hundred ages. For poor. After saving the cowherd boys from the blazing forest fire, Krishna saved the cowherd girls from the blazing fire of separation from him. The gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, have the greatest love for Krishna, and even a single moment of separation from him seems like millions of years to them. The gopis are the greatest devotees of God, and in their specific pastimes with Krishna, and their specific pastimes with Krishna will be described later in this work. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. By the way, this is the last verse. So, thus end the purpose of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Swallowing the Forest Fire. Oh, Vinda. I forgot my computer, so I have to depend on the telephone now. So, one second. So Krishna is referred by two names, Janardana and Govinda. So Janardana is the name of Krishna that refers to him who is looked up by all living entities. Jana means all people. And Ardana means you pray towards, or you request him. So he is that personality that you approach, or the ultimate personality, the supreme person to whom you approach for asking any type of benediction or favor or protection, that type of thing. And Govinda, we know the name of Govinda. Govinda is him who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. So, with the cowherd boys, the verse is Krishna is addressed as Janardana, because the cowherd boys just actually were rescued by Krishna from this forest fire. And then we hear that they approach Krishna looking for, please protect us, Janardana. Arjuna also addresses Krishna as Janardana when he was in the midst of his terrible condition, in which he was feeling very distressed before the battlefield Kurukshetra. Oh, Janardana, kindly, basically instruct me, let me know what is the right thing to do. I'm actually overwhelmed by this anxiety and this the terrible condition of the heart, painful condition. So you save me, Janardana. Janardana also refers as Krishna. There's in the beginning of the creation, there was certain demons that were considered the Janas, and then Krishna became the enemy or the destroyers of the Janas or the destroyers of the demons. So Krishna also is addressed as Janardana, as someone who vanquished demons. So So the cowherd boys are coming back with Krishna and Balaram, and it's late afternoon, and they're heading back to Vrindavan, and Krishna is playing the flute with this special melody. It is explained that it's a special flute. I'm so curious to know, you know, what is this special melody, you know, this beautiful one. But it's cultivating, and also the cowherd boys are singing the glories of Janardana, Krishna, the vanquisher of demons. So they're excited. So this is their mood. This is the mood of the cowherd boys. They're just happy and proud that their best friend, the object of their fraternal love, is such an amazing personality. And he does all these amazing things that they just happily sing in the glories. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they learn about Krishna's activities, killing all these demons by the cowherd boys singing all the glories of Krishna. And then, verse 16 describes the mood of the gopis, the cowherd girls. And their mood is in that mood, they address Krishna as Govinda. Govinda is the apple of their eyes, right? He is the object of all their love, and they describe him as Govinda, who is he who gives satisfaction to all the senses. So for them, they have spent the whole day in separation from Krishna. And that separation from them, it is explained that it's like, it feels like hundreds of ages, a millennium. So then this moment of union is very intense because they have spent the whole day in separation from Krishna. And this day, you know, appears like such a long, 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 long time, ages. And we know this mood, we hear this mood of separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we recite the Shikshastaka, verse number 7 also expresses exactly this feeling addressing Govinda. And the verse goes, Yugajita nimeshena chakshusha pavrishajitam Sunjayitan jagat sarvan Govinda virahena me. So this Govinda virahena means separation from Govinda, when we are away from Govinda. So this is the mood of the gopis, and is heightened, or is in his highest expression in the love of Srimati Radharani. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that the internal purpose of his appearance as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to experience this mood of Srimati Radharani. So Lord Chaitanya in the Shikshastika is expressing that mood. That is the highest expression of this mood of separation, this Govinda Virahena. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is leading us to that actual spiritual experience. That's what we followers, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are meant to actually enter into. So when we study the Shikshastika prayers, it is explained that all this progression, the gradual progression from the very beginning of Shraddha all the way to Prema, it is described in by the Shikshastika prayers. And specifically, the first four mantras of the Shikshastika give us entrance into the process of sadhana bhakti. Allows to understand what are the things that we have to cultivate, what is the mood and what is the actual position of practicing sadhana bhakti. And the verse that defines this mood, Srila Rupa Goswami says that we should dress, we should take that verse and put it like a neck, how you say, necklace, you know, huh? No, you can actually almost, you know, wear that verse, you know, like you wear two CBs. You never take it out. And you know that verse is Trinar api suniche na taror api shahishnuda amanina badanina kirtanilla sadahari. That we should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of all prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And cultivating that mood, also the mood of unalloyed devotional service. And that mood of unalloyed devotional service is a stage in which we cultivate the only desire is to serve Krishna. That we try to eliminate these external desires, selfish desires, and only focus on Krishna's service. So Lord Chaitanya tells us, Nadanan Najanan Nasundari Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaje Mama Jammani Jammani Shware Babatat Bhaktir Ahaituki Twayi. Ahaituki Bhakti means bhakti without any motivation. So Nadanan, I don't want followers. Nadanan, I don't want riches, I don't want wealth. Najanan, I don't want followers. Nasundari, I don't want beautiful woman or a beautiful spouse. Nadanan, Najanan, Nasundari. Kavitam bhajagat isha kamaye. The only thing that I desire is birth after birth. Jammani, jammani shware. Bhavatat bhakti rahaktu kitvaji is just to perform your devotional service without motivation. So these four verses give us entrance to what we have to cultivate for our sadhana bhakti. And our sadhana bhakti, when we go through the process of anartha nivritti and reach the stage of nishta, which our bhakti now becomes settled, steady. Nishta means steady. We move from the neophyte stage. The neophyte stage of bhakti is a stage in which our devotional service is unsteady. The term is anishtata bhakti, which means, you know, we're doing this roller coaster business. Sometimes we're down, sometimes we're up. And we go into the process of anartha nivritti and, you know, the battle and the purification of all the different anarthas. And then we reach this stage of nishta. Nishta means that 75% of the unwanted things within the heart becomes eliminated. So But now you have 25% left to be taken care. But with 75%, your devotion now is steady. And you can understand, you know, very clear. Suppose, you know, when we're kids, we used to play, you know, the thing that is called tug of war, right? You have two teams of devotees or two teams of people, children, and then you grab a rope and you have, you know, similar, like teams are equal, and then you pull, and then there is a pond or something, you know, that, well, a little river or something like that, and then the losers, you know, gets pulled into. So you have, you know, if you have equal teams that are of equal strength, then, you know, you have to be on your A game, because if you get distracted or once someone, you know, get tired, then boom, you get knocked down. So at best, when we go into an anartha nivritti, we have, in general, we have more anarthas, you know, more material desires than devotional desires. So then we get pulled towards materialistic things. And as we get stronger, then we start to equalize the whole thing. But you have this tug of war, it's a struggle. Therefore, this neophyte stage is called Prakrita Bhakta. Prakrita Bhakta means materialistic devotee, which is an oxymoron. Because there's not just a thing of a bhakta that is materialistic, but this stage is like that. We basically, neophyte devotees, we live in an oxymoron. Therefore, it's awkward. It's an awkward position because we're not fully devotees, we're not materialistic people. You're in the middle of, like, you know, like that. You can't enjoy anymore like a materialistic person. And you enjoy like a devotee, but because it's unsteady, you don't remain there. You just oscillate between this awkward space that you're not this or not that. I don't know if this is the experience, but in general, that if we analyze ourselves and then we say, this is what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described in the Madhurya Kandambini. He describes symptoms, and then we say, okay, that's me, you know. So you know where you're at, and you understand the process. So, so when there is awkward position, split between our materialistic desires, our selfish desire, and our devotional desires. So, when we became sufficiently purified that now 75% is bhakta and 25% is prakrita, then there's no way 25% is going to defeat 75%. So therefore, we're steady. Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur said that in this stage, this is called the Madhyama Adhikari, or the Madhyama stage, the middle stage. In this stage, the nectar begins. He says, the beginning of the chapter in the Madhurya Kandambini that described this Nishtha stage, the title is, Now the Nectar Begins. So now nectar begins. So nectar, because now we're situated and we start to experience it in a consistent manner. You know, when we have these Krishna conscious experiences, you know, amazing kirtan or a festival or an amazing class or a beautiful worship, you know, like that, or an amazing feast of prasadam, you know, and you experience this, like, happiness. Spiritual happiness is actually a religious experience. Dharma, what is it? Krishna says that we It's perfection because we experience it. It's a perfection of religion because it's experience. So when we have this experience of happiness, but then, you know, then it sort of fizzles down and then you go back to, you know, your struggles and then again, you know, so we go through that. Now, imagine, you know, when we're in steady position, then now this nectar begins. And as we go on with that, then Ruchi and then Ashakti, the position of this position in the Shikshastaka is described by the following verses. What is it? Nayanan, Nayanan, the Sundar. No, that the next one is Ajinanda Tanuya Kinkaran Patitam Man Buddha. What is it? Ajinanda Tanuya Kinkaran Patitam Man Buddha. I have to recite the whole thing to remember. Yes. So, Ajinanda Tanuya Kinkaran, that my dear Lord, this humility, this sense of dependence on Krishna, you know, arises, in which you call to Krishna, my dear Lord, please pick me up from this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this. Kindly save me. And just place me as one of the atoms of dust in your lotus feet. And then Lord Chaitanya takes us to this position of Baba, just right before Prema, in which the emotions that are there, just by entering in that being with Krishna, by serving Krishna, comes. Najanangalara Shudharaja Bhavanan Gadgada Rujadagira Gadgada, tears are flowing from my eyes. Oh my Lord, when with my heart you aspire from that emotions, when with my heart we feel with tears of love when I chant the holy name, when with my voice choke up and when with the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your holy name. So, what Lord Chaitanya is leading us is the experience of these damsels of Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya is leading us to these experiences of love and separation. The term is Vipralamba Bhava. Vipralamba Bhava. It is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is love in separation. And the next two verses fully display this mood. You know, that just to be separated from Krishna, this Yugayita means a yuga, a millennium. A Yugayita sometimes it says like 12 years. And Yugayita, Nimeshana. Nimeshana means a moment. Chakshusha, my eyes. Pavrishayitan is like monsoon. So my eyes becomes like monsoon. It becomes like this rainy season. Like it's, you know, if you've ever been in India in the monsoon season, it's like very heavy rain. Like, you know. So my eyes becomes like that. Chashusha Pabrishayitan. Sunjayitan Jagat Sarvan. Sunya, like, you know, Prabhupada's Nirvesesha Sunya Vadi. Sunya becomes void. Void. Yugayitan,
Chakshusha present. Sunjayitan Jagat, the universe, Jagat Sarvan, all the universe, Jagat Sarvan, all the universe becomes void. Just by that moment, Govinda Virahena Me, by just separation from you, from Govinda. So that's Srimati Radharani's mood. That's the Gopi's mood. That's what is described here. The young Gopis took the great pleasure in seeing Govinda come home, since for them even a moment without his association seems like hundreds of ages. So Lord Chaitanya, in his Puri Lila, in Puri Dham, in the later part of his pastimes, the Antya Lila, he fully displayed this Vipralamba Seva or Vipralamba Bhava, this mood of separation from Srimati, like Srimati Radharani. And that mood of separation, that the mood is described in the following verse, in its Aslisya Bapadan Rata Pinastuman Adarshana Marmahatan Karotuba Yata Yata Babidadatulampato Matprana Natastu Saeva Naparaha. Is this unalloyed devotion. My Lord, you may treat me like ever you want. You may break my heart by not being present before me. You can neglect me. You know, don't pay attention. It doesn't matter what you do, because I will always consider you my worshipful Lord. It doesn't matter. So, this mood of separation is what we aspire for. Because it is said, this mood of separation also is described by Srila Rupa Goswami, that is sort of the wealth of this Madhurya Ras. That and it is explained that before union with Krishna, then have to be separation. This separation. So the whole thing of actually aspiring for that moment of union, Krishna, show yourself, please. That moment, like the gopis experiencing, you know, when Krishna returns, we have to experience, we have to be able to enter into this mood of service and separation. And it is explained that in the service of separation, the intensity, I mean, you really have to go deep. You have to fully manifest this love for Krishna, have to be fully mature to be able to experience that separation and desire very intensively the union with Krishna. That actually you go mad. You go mad in looking for that unification with Krishna. In the prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, one of the prayers is described that they go mad. What is it? Rajalalite. He Radhe Braja Devike Chalalite, He Nandasuna Sutta, Sri Govardhana Pada Pada Patale, Kalindijam. So it says that they're like going crazy in Vrindavan. They're running here and there. Oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, where are you? Are you by Govardhan? Are you by Kalindi in Yamuna? Are you in the groves of Vrindavan? Where are you? Please show yourself. They're looking for Krishna, looking for Krishna, looking for Krishna. That was their mood. So that mood of separation brings this intense desire to be united with Krishna. And that's the mood of the gopis. And that's what Lord Chaitanya is leading us to. So one thing that is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami is that this mood of separation manifests in its full perfection when we actually reach that Vipralamba Bhava. These three things get heightened very intensely, like you know, in its most intense manifestation, which is anxiety, a sort of not regret, but what is the word that he used? Remorse and anxiety, remorse, and humility. So it becomes manifested in this pure, it's like the pure manifestation of these qualities in its most heightened form. And in reality, we cannot try to understand this emotion, this spiritual emotion, with the experiences that we understand of these things. Anxiety for us means there is an ocean of difference between the anxiety, the remorse, and the humility that is experienced in this world, that what is experienced in the spiritual world. So we can make the mistake, oh yeah, anxiety, oh wow, that sounds, you know, not so fun, you know, or being, you know, this whole pain of separation is like torture. Sometimes people become like a little, you know, upset when they hear of Krishna's pastimes, and they, you know, how he basically appears externally looking for the material, you know, from the materialistic perspective, that he neglected his friend and the Srimati Radharani and his parents, and left them, you know, basically to die of, you know, a broken heart. I mean, there's some stories, like when you go to Govardhan, at the tail end of Govardhan, there is this little shrine of one cowherd boy who's still waiting for Krishna to come back from Mathura. Because he told Krishna, tell him, I will come back, just wait. And he's still sitting there waiting. It is explained that he didn't move, he didn't eat, he didn't do anything. He just sat there looking at the road to Mathura. It breaks your heart, you know? And same with Sridham, we heard, you know, some time ago, Sridham is also sitting in one place. But when Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, he went to that spot and connected with Sridham. And want to speak of the descriptions of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and the gopis. No, they're all broken hearted. So what is this? If this is, you know, that doesn't sound like, you know, the ocean of bliss of the spiritual world. But that's not what we cannot, because we're trying to understand from, you know, our, you know, we're trying to follow Dr. Frog's philosophy, you know that, no? The story of Dr. Frog. that he's trying to understand the Pacific Ocean by the experience of his little pond. Is it 2 times the size of my pond? Is it 5 times? Is it 100 times the size of my pond? No, it's unlimited. It's an unlimited body of water. Ah, that's going to be. How could it be? You know, like that. So it's an experience beyond our comprehension. The only thing that we can do is to hear from the Vaishnava Acharyas to give us entrance to understand this path. And naturally, following Lord Chaitanya, then everything will manifest, all the things that we led to, this wealth, this wonderful gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has offered us, that defines him as Mahavadanyaya, the most magnanimous, because he's giving us entrance to anyone, to the whole world, to experience the highest manifestation of love of Godhead. The love of the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, the Brajabhatus. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. But for that, we have to go to our ABC. We have to go through our educational system. It is no use for, you know, elementary school kids to being presented or exposed to, you know, the complicated, advanced physics and math, you know, of super engineers, you know, or like that. It is no use for that, because there's different levels, so you go to different levels. So we have to perfect ourselves in our sadhana. We have to be able to come. We have to be able to master this third verse of the Shikshastaka. We have to be able to be so comfortable in that position by constant cultivation. And then naturally, the instructions from the Acharyas are there. Srila Rupa Goswami is the Rasa Acharya. He will lead us. The information is there. And that naturally will, you know when you're ready, because it's sort of all, there is an understanding. To be able to understand these deep subject matters, you have to have certain adhikari, and that adhikari comes from realization. You have to have a realization of your practices of Krishna consciousness. You have to be in a position that is steady. That's why, you know, everything is break down into steps like that. So, but we can look forward, and we know what our north is. We know that's what we lead it to. But we cannot jump, you know, because it will be, in one sense, it's dangerous. We, Prabhupada makes so much emphasis on this, the danger of jumping into, with not being fully prepared and purified, diving into this mood of the gopis, either by basically absorbing yourself fully into these different literatures that describe these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. Prabhupada was very heavy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very heavy. Lord Chaitanya only, he had very, very limited associates that he would share these intimate, you know, sort of moods with Swarup Damodar Goswami and with Ramananda Roy Bas. That was it. Everybody else, Sankirtan, you know. And everybody else is like, you know, this the supreme devotees, you know. But so that, so it means that, you know, that as I understand it, is at one point it would naturally let you will naturally be led to. It would be natural. For now, you know, we have to try to come to the position that I can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And for that, I have to master this Trinada Pisunichina. Otherwise, you know, without full shelter of the holy name, then our entrance is to the chanting of the holy names, and that's what Lord Chaitanya is giving us. So as long as you're struggling with chanting your holy name, you cannot do it constantly. That means that we have work to do. That's our level. So we focus on that. And then we hear from Srila Prabhupada, we hear from the Bhagavatam. Sometimes when we go in pilgrimage to Vrindavan and we associate with devotees and the past, the places of pastimes of Krishna, and we hear those pastimes, and that fills our heart with, you know, faith and happiness and, you know, all that. And then, you know, we constantly keep working at our level. So, any comments or questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for class. I just have one quick question. This is something I've been wondering about for a while, but I'm happy that you spoke so much on this in your class, and it's about the Vipralamba. And I was wondering how as a struggling sadhaka, does one embrace the mood of separation? There's that old saying of, I think it's like distance makes the heart grow fonder or something like that. I was wondering if the mood of separation is like, where obviously you're not with Krishna, but is it like this intense, like, hankering or like yearning for the Lord? Or, I was just wondering how, as a, you know, as a bhakta, how do you try to desire to have that sort of mood?
We hear about it. I think through our spiritual life, our entering into those spaces, in my experience, is depending on our relationship with our Guru Maharaj. So most of the time, you're serving your spiritual master in separation. And the test of the separation is how can you, you know, when you're in this, there's this Bapu and Vani, right? We hear about that. So Vani means the instructions. So we take the instruction of our spiritual master, and that becomes our life and soul. And that's the essence of this service and separation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defines that, you know, in his commentary to 241, that Prabhupada became so touched that he decides, now I'm going to America, right? Devasajatmika Budhi verse. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the service to my spiritual, I don't know anything. To me, there's nothing exists he doesn't see anything but the service to the order of the spiritual master. And that's what he defines as Vyavyasajatmika, the single-pointed intelligence. So that's how he approached it, and that's how he's telling us. We approach that Vyavyasajatmika is, you know, the orders of my Guru Maharaj. So, obviously, saying we worked out things, you know, sometimes in the test of how we progressing is how much we adhering to those orders. And the gradual purification is you become more settled, more steady in that service. So you gauge everything. Your experience of Krishna consciousness is much dependent on your relationship with your spiritual master. So that's the separation part. And when you're able to serve your spiritual master as nicely as you do it when you're present with your spiritual master, you know, when your spiritual master is present, if you do when he's not present, you do the same intense service. Sometimes when, you know, the spiritual master comes, the disciples, you know, it's all like you're in your A game. And then you relax when the spiritual master leaves, you know, like that. But when you're on your A game all the time, as you know, then it's very, very good, you know. There are disciples who were become very advanced by just serving the spiritual master, even without much. There's many disciples that didn't have, I mean, right now leaders, my spiritual master, that didn't have a great amount of direct association with Prabhupada. You know, like they have association with Prabhupada, visit the temples, you know, and that will be, you know, in big spans of time. And then they associate with Prabhupada through his teachings, his books, and his classes. So that's our space. We gauge everything through that. Separation, service and separation. You know, so you take shelter. So in the case of the gopis, in that mode of separation, what do? They meditated on Krishna. They're thinking about Krishna's pastimes and things like that. For us, the meditation is the instructions of my spiritual master. So, you know, how am I applying that? Is that right? Jaibala, keep it tight and...
Can I ask one other quick question?
Sure.
We were talking about the stages of bhakti, is it? Where you Shraddha into prema? Is that a linear scale? Or is it like here or there and then back here? And then is it like one step at a time?
I understand it is that you're going, you know, it's levels. And you're naturally, you know, moving to, there's symptoms to move one level. You can always fall down in any position. I mean, we see even in Bhava, Bharat Maharaj fell down. But so there's no security until you reach prema. But it's levels like that. And even, you know, if you fall down from the highest levels, it's not just like a regular fell down, like in the case of Bharat Maharaj. You know, he was still fully conscious, you know, and like that.
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. The one thing that caught my attention the most was the analogy of the tug of war between our Narsis. And the reason is because I came across a verse from the Bhagavatam. There's many verses. Like one verse says that we're the tatastha shakti, marginal potency of Krishna.
All right.
Meaning we're struggling between the material and spiritual energy. That's one verse. Jivetasura rupoi krishnata nitya das, krishnata tatastha shakti beta be prakash. But there's also another verse that basically says, that does say the exact same thing you said in your class. And I wanted to just give you the reference, and maybe you could look it up later and share with devotees. This is from the third canto, chapter 7, verse 17. It basically says what you said, which I appreciate. I was looking at this verse recently. It says that two people enjoy happiness, the complete materialist and the complete spiritualist. It is only the sadhakas, those in the middle, who are struggling and suffering the most because we can't go back to sense gratification. We know we just can't scream to somebody to the top of our lungs, you know, or we can't have illicit sex. And nor are we fully self-realized to enjoy happiness, so we're always miserable. So it's a very suffering condition. And I'd like to expand on those points because especially when you use statistics, not with our anarthas, but now we're dealing with our internal enemies, but our external enemies. I'll just give an example. Like when you use a statistic, 75 is more powerful than 25. But we see in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna gave the Kauravas and the Pandavas the options. He says, I'm a neutral party, but I'm going to give me, myself, to one army and my entire army to the other party. So Arjuna chose Krishna. And Duryodhana chose Krishna's army. So Duryodhana's army outweighed Krishna and the Pandavas. And one example that Prabhupada gives is actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the Adi Lila chapter 13, I believe. The title of it is called The Advent of Lord Chaitanya. And in the first few verses of that chapter, it gives an analogy. It compares Lord Chaitanya and the devotees to a moon. And Prabhupada will always say this, devotees should become like modest moons and not arrogant all-stars. What does that mean? That means the moon is the majority and the stars are the minority, but the moon shines brighter than all the stars put together. So we see that Krishna and the Panda, all the protagonists in the scriptures, they were the minority. The antagonists were the majority. But why did the protagonists defeat the antagonists? Because they were modest moons and not arrogant all-stars. And so one last verse I'd like to mention, may you pass on. One, that's why I love this verse about the in the Holy Bible, 1 Corinthians. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were noble birth. But God chose the foolish people of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak people of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly and the despised people of the world just so no one may boast before him. So my question is, that in our Krishna consciousness, how can we determine whether we're putting our faith in our opulences? Oh, my faith, my power is 75%. Somebody lower than me is 25%. Therefore, I can say anything I want to them without a reaction. But we see that's not the case. So how do we know we're, as practicing devotees like Indra, so many devotees in the scripture, how do we know we're not putting our faith in Krishna, our faith in Krishna, or faith in our material position or opulences?
It's because we mentioned it, that to go to those positions, you have to actually become very expert at this Trinadapisunichana. If you get to that nishta position and you say, I'm steady, I'm like, you know, I'm great, I'm like this and that, you know, you start to get proud instead of humble, and means that you're not there yet. So it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. So humility is throughout.
It's a quality of knowledge, and it's a quality of devotee. It's a crown quality of the devotee. And I say, that was just quoting from Srila Rupa Goswami, that this humility, when it manifests, this whole mood of Vipralamba, of the gopis, Srimati Radharani, it manifests in this extreme humility. You can actually do whatever you want. You know, like that. It doesn't matter. You're my Lord. So that have to be throughout, and we have to, we can let go. We have to, you know, continue going deeper and deeper and deeper in this quality. I stop here. Thank you so much. Grantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.